Mr. Rosemount is not happy, but he has a plan to gain revenge on the man responsible. Bernard Cribbins reads Brown's Bull.
The man, walking up the winding cart track through the fields, was so lost in thought that he did not see the bull approaching from his right. He was brooding on the collapse of his firm, the frailty of his health, the ingratitude of his children. He would be better off out of this world. He wished only that God would grant him a release. Then, slowly, he became aware of the drumming sound on the drought-scorched earth. A glance to his right, and suddenly all his misfortunes were forgotten, and he desperately wanted to live. Ancient instincts asserted themselves, and he began to run for his life. He veered left and made for the dry stone wall 50 yards away. It was a bizarre sight. A man in late middle age, carrying a rolled umbrella and dressed in a dark city suit and shiny shoes, running in the bat light through a wilderness of rough pasture, pursued by a cantering bull. He tossed his briefcase over the wall, then scrambled after it and was winded by a great slate capstone falling on his shoulder. It could have killed him. It must have weighed 100 weight. He lay looking up at the stars that shone so serenely and would shine on long after he had quit this accursed world. All his dreams had faded. He knew that he was mortal. He knew that he was mediocre. Spread-eagled in dry cow dung and nettles, panting, weeping at the pain in his shoulder and the deeper pain in his heart, Mr. Rosemount cursed his maker and George Brown. George Brown, who let his bull roam the fields and who had a brief and dirty-mouthed answer for anyone who complained. George Brown was another cross to bear. When Mr. Rosemount bought his cottage high in these fields, it was to have been paradise. But it was hell. George Brown had seen to that. Yes, everything had turned out badly. Everything Mr. Rosemount touched turned sour. House, business, children, George Brown. He'd come to this area because of reports of its high rainfall and had set up a shop for the sale and repair of umbrellas. What a blunder. With his luck, he might have known that in his 7 years of business there would be 4 years of drought. And who carried an umbrella nowadays anyway? Only a handful of cranks and ancients. If it were not for Pamela, he would make an end of himself. His wife. A wondrous creature who had stood by him through all his misfortunes. But suicide would mean no insurance. He looked, and there was a clause. Pamela would be left in the lurch. Her future was one thing he would not botch. So, for the sake of Pamela, he was condemned to endure. He rose to his feet and dusted himself off as best he could. There, in the open, under the indifferent stars, he took off his trousers and jacket and shook and pummeled them. He picked off grass and dust and a horny-cased beetle with a yellow stripe down its back. Fortunate, insensible creature that knew no dread of life. He polished his scuffed and soiled shoes with his handkerchief, combed his wispy iron hair, and walked home. Bats flicked before his face. His shoulder throbbed. In the distance, a lost lamb bleated in the dark like his own small, trembling soul. If Pamela noticed his distress, she didn't mention it. She was accustomed to his haggard face, his injured eyes, his air of panic and bewilderment. She kissed him and fussed over him as on any normal evening, as if they were still lovers and the road ahead held beautiful adventures. In bed, taking care to turn gently on his aching shoulder, he brooded on umbrellas, on the children, and most of all, on George Brown. Relations had fared badly with the short and bandy-legged farmer from the start. George Brown's home was miles distant, and he spread himself too thinly and neglected the stock he pastured in these remote uplands. He kept his cattle cooped up and crowded for days at a stretch in the barn a few yards from the Rosemounts' cottage. They bellowed for water through the night, and when Mr. Rosemount made a courteous, understanding appeal for compassion, Brown burst out with a stream of swear words before Pamela's face. The cattle remained in their prison, and their bedding grew increasingly miry until they developed open sores on their legs and sides. Finally, when their cries became intolerable, Pamela complained to the RSPCA, and Brown was ordered to treat his animals with humanity. It was then he took to driving his Land Rover past the cottage at high speed and running over the ducks Pamela had bought for their eggs and the pretty way they waddled to the tarn. Soon, Brown planted a stand of fast-growing larches to block the Rosemount's view of the Langdale Pikes. Finally, he bought the bull. For no reason that Mr. Rosemount could see, although he admitted that he might be turning paranoid, other than to terrorize them all. Great heavens! In a world so full of natural anguish, why did man have to create his own? The bull was literally a menace to life. You would think the police would do something. One day it would kill somebody. Kill somebody. Mr. Rosemount sat up in bed. What if he himself had been killed tonight, gored and trampled into the earth? The insurance people would cough up without a pause. The house would be Pamela's. Her future would be assured, and without him, surely, her luck would change. Furthermore, would not George Brown be called upon to pay heavy damages? Yes, certainly. Thumping damages? 6 figures, possibly? How beautiful! How many birds and bulls killed with one stone? Release for Mr. Rosemount, a safe destiny for Pamela, and punishment, possibly bankruptcy, for George Brown. He slid gently out of bed. He kissed his wife's head. She took sleeping tablets, his fault again, and always slept soundly until 6, when she would wake with a start and a look of dread before collecting herself and putting on a smiling face for Mr. Rosemount. He looked at himself in the mirror and swore that in this he would not fail. His final act would be a blazing success. He had botched his life, but his death would be a masterpiece. He scribbled a note. Gone in early for a spot of stock-taking. Take care. Love, Eric. Then he left the house and set off down the hill. A half an hour after dawn, George Brown, with 2 sheepdogs at his heels, came over the brow of a hill and looked down on his domain. What he saw caused him to break his stride. Then he hurried on. There was a figure in the field below. A man in a dark city suit who clutched a briefcase. He was prodding Brown's bull with a rolled umbrella. Prodding and prodding, digging the gleaming brass ferrule into its thick flanks. The bull was ambling away and casting hurt looks over its shoulder like a bullied child. "Charge me, damn you!" cried Mr. Rosemount in a strange, high voice, broken by sobs. "Turn round and charge me! What's the matter with you? Why don't you turn round and fight?" But the bull merely wandered a short distance away and began to pull at the dusty brown stalks of grass that were all that remained after another year of drought.